Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I am Abby Chin, sitting alongside A. Sherrod Blakely.
What's up, Abby?
What's up, Sherrod? Kyle is traveling the world, taking his show international, so I get a chance to step in.
And we get a chance to up our ratings in that process with Abigail in the house. Yay, Celtics Talk Podcast. We're winning.
Thank you, Sherrod. Happy to be here. Before we get going, a couple of housekeeping things. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the Celtics Talk Podcast. We have more interviews from Media Day coming at you. You need to tell everyone that you prefer me over Kyle. Mike and Tommy did a podcast takeover on Tuesday to look ahead at the season. And Sherrod, I cannot tell you how much I loved that old stories from Tommy Heinsohn about Red being on the road.
And
so good.
The crazy thing about Tommy is that no matter how many times you talk to him, no matter how many times you think, there's not another story that he could possibly tell that I haven't heard. He begins to tell you a story you've never heard before. A walking institution of Boston Celtics knowledge right there, Tommy Heinsohn.
Two-time Hall of Famer. Make sure you check that out and tell your friends. Hit that subscribe button on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Coming up in this episode, Scal and I had a chance to sit down with both Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens earlier this week. So settle in. There is some great stuff there, particularly from Danny Ainge and why he was willing to finally part with the last Brooklyn pick, that last vestige of this rebuilding process. But first, Sherrod and I are in Rhode Island wrapping up Celtics training camp here at Salve Regina University.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Although I haven't gotten out on the cliff walk yet, Sherrod.
Mother Nature has been really, really good to us here. And I feel bad that we've been in the gym so much of the time that we haven't been able to kind of soak up all the sun and just the beauty that is Newport, Rhode Island.
The beauty. Although the humidity has not been good for my hair. But
mine either, but that's another story.
We'll move on. Yes. So the Celtics got in five practices. The last one here, more of a walkthrough,
yeah.
Brad Stevens said. But Brad also told us today, which I found interesting, I want to get your thoughts just on the camp as a whole. But Brad Stevens said something today that he has thrown almost everything at these guys, and then he feels like he's going to kind of dial in into the details as they go forward. That's a lot to take in for a team with 11 new players.
Well, I mean, I think Brad understands that when you're talking about this particular roster, he really does have to take a sink or swim approach because there's so much parity at a high level where he has to figure out who can quickly grasp what I'm trying to do, who can execute that, and those are the guys that are going to play early on. He has to figure out, there has to be some kind of weeding out process, and I think that's part of Brad's thinking along those lines, that he really does have so many different options, so many different combinations that he can turn to. He's got to figure out who can man up and handle this from day one, and really when you throw everything at him, not everybody is going to be able to process that, and I think Brad understands that's the easiest way to figure out who's ready to get on the floor and get things done and who's not right now.
So early impressions, who do you see is ready other than Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford, who we will get to?
Well, we hear a lot about Jason Tatum, and I think, you know, the expectations for fans is going to be off the charts for this guy, and I just don't think he's going to live up to it. And that doesn't mean he's going to be bad. I just think that the expectations are going to be so ridiculously high, he's not going to get on the floor long enough to really meet those expectations.
At least to start.
Yeah. A couple of people, players that I spoke with, they mentioned Aaron Baines, who is just a phenomenal pick setter, does a good job of sealing guys off, and as we've seen, is pretty damn strong. I've heard his name mentioned a lot as someone to really keep an eye on as we get deeper into training camp and head into the regular season.
But he's also a wily veteran. I really am interested to see what kind of steps Jaylen Brown takes after it is being hammered into his head that he needs to focus on the defensive end. And then, like you mentioned, I'm curious to see what kind of impact Jason Tatum can make from the start, because he is earning rave reviews. Brad Stevens saying yesterday he believes that he will be a good NBA player for a long time.
I agree with that. But I think that when people hear those words, they think about, you know, Brad is giving him all this praise. His teammates are praising. Paul Pierce has said that, you know, he right now is where I was when I was in my sixth, seventh, eighth year in the league, which is insane. But Tatum, I look at the way he handles all of this stuff. And he is just kind of Mr. easy breezy, level headed, doesn't seem to get too caught up in the hype to the point where you can get a sense that it's affecting him. And he's going to have to be that way all season long, because he is a guy, I think, as the season progresses, will play more. But as far as coming in day one, dropping 25 and 12, that's not going to happen.
All right, let's get to the big three. Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford. We did not get to see them on the court together at all. The portion that we did see of live scrimmaging, Kyrie Irving was very vocal, jumping up and down on the sidelines. And that's what Terry Rozier told us yesterday as well, is that he is just talking all the time. How does this team work everything together?
Well, that's part of the training camp process. They're going to have to figure that out. And it's not going to be a smooth, easy going ride. I've mentioned before, you know, when Kyrie was in Cleveland and LeBron came back, they got off to a 5-6 start, and everyone is thinking that Cleveland, this is not going to work. LeBron, why did you leave? Horrible decision. You're going to regret it for the rest of your life. And he begins the first of three straight trips to the NBA Finals, including one net title. Kyrie understands this is a process. And the point that you made about him being more, communicating more, I talked to three different players about just what their impressions of camp, and each one of them at some point mentioned Kyrie Irving talking more, leading the veterans, giving them, letting them know where they needed to be. He understands his role, and it's a role that he asked for. He literally asked to be that guy. And so I think he's taking it seriously. I think he understands that he has to be more vocal. He has to be more of an on-the-floor leader, because right now there's a vacuum for that that role to be filled. And he clearly, from a talent standpoint, can do it. But can he do it in terms of actual leadership? Because Al Horford, by nature, wants to be kind of the quiet, you know, lead by example type. But
and
they
when
need,
he speaks, you listen.
Right, right. But they need someone to be more consistent in terms of their vocal leadership. And Kyrie, from the sounds of things, is up to the challenge so far.
He really fell into the perfect situation for him, asking for a trade into a team that's prepared to win now, but also a team that will allow him to come in and immediately assume that role. Because
yeah,
that's a pretty rare thing in an NBA locker
room.
It is.
But you look at the fact that they've got 10, 11 new guys, and from a resume standpoint, I mean, Kyrie
absolutely
stands out, and he should be the guy that they look to be a leader, and he should be the guy that's most comfortable in that, because, again, this is what you asked for.
Yep.
So there's no buyer. There should be no buyer's remorse or wanting a refund right now. You asked for this. This is exact. In fact, this is better than what you asked for. All you wanted to do was be out of Cleveland. Not only are you out of Cleveland, you're on a team that is right next to Cleveland in terms of being a contender in the East. So absolute best case scenario he could have possibly got when he demanded a trade.
And then there's a guy, the marquee free agent signing for the Celtics in the offseason, and Gordon Hayward, who is somehow getting overlooked, but he has said repeatedly he's fine with that. He's okay with that. But Sherrod, talking to the players and just from being in practice for these few days, it is clear he is just really, really good.
Yeah. And I went back and I started looking at more film of him because, you know, Al Horford mentioned a couple of days about how, you know, Gordon's defense is really good. And I don't really recall him as a defender. But when
yet
you start looking at his you know, some of his clips, it's clear that he's a 6'8", 225, 230-pound athletic wing who has deceptive defensive skills. This is a guy who has, you know, come from behind to pin LeBron James shots on the glass. And he did this when he was like maybe, I don't know, third, fourth year in the league. And now he's bigger, he's stronger, he's even more athletic. He's going to be a guy that I think Celtics fans are going to be pleasantly surprised, not only in what they know he can do, but also what they did not know he could do.
It's going to be fun to watch. I think the biggest question right now is building up that chemistry. That's why this team came down here mm-hmm. to Rhode Island to kind of get away from it all and go to team dinners together, go to team meals. But as Brad Stevens told us, teams can get along great off the court. That doesn't mean they're going to win. And so
right,
developing that chemistry on both ends, Sherrod, is paramount
yeah
for this team right now.
Yeah, and when I talked to Al Horford about this, actually, and defensively, they're actually a little bit ahead of the game. And I think that's where Gordon Hayward's ability to defend, which not a lot of these guys probably knew existed, I think that's kind of helped speed that process along. The big area of concern now is getting on the same page offensively. They have a lot of talent. The issue isn't whether they can score. It's whether they can become an efficient scoring team. Guys guys are going to have to sacrifice certain parts of their game offensively in order for that to be in the best interest of the team. It remains to be seen whether guys can do that consistently. But so far, they're saying all the right things. They're doing all the right things. But as we know, first week of training camp, regular season, two completely different animals.
And you have to think, the biggest key to making all of that happen, Kyrie Irving. I'm going to send you now to our interview conversation with Danny Ainge. Scal and I, Scal asked a great question asking why Danny was finally ready to push in all of his chips, throw that Brooklyn pick in this deal to land Kyrie Irving. Take a listen.
Okay, Danny, off season. Nice job, I guess. We'll soon find out. But how challenging was your off season?
It was busy. It was very busy. You know, every off season is challenging, Brian. I think this off season was more challenging because I had a son running for Congress. I had a son come home from a mission. Like in the midst of all this work, those distractions. Although obviously they're not distractions, they're fun times of life. I'll look back on them with some fondness, but it was really busy.
What about getting dunked on?
Yeah, so I got dunked on by crew. Mm-hmm. I got dunked in a tank for raising money for Tanner. So, yeah, I think the things that parents do for their children.
That's true.
The crew dunk was a setup, or
you really want to know the whole story? I tweeted that out. Quick story.
Yeah.
So, Jalen had just tweeted out this drive-by dunk.
Yeah, I saw that
thing. Yeah, and so like I told Austin, I'm gonna do a drive-by dunk on crew. And my two grandchildren were just playing. I wasn't going to drive by, of course, but I was just going to steal the ball and go in and dunk on crew. And then I was going to tweet it out and just mess with crew. And crew had no idea that that was going on. And then he just like threw me out of the way and dunked on me. And I thought it was so funny. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, he got me and I didn't even get a chance to get him. I was wearing my loafers and playing with the grandkids, and I go, okay, I had to give crew credit for that. And of course, he loves the social media, so threw him some love. And next thing we know, we're on SportsCenter, top five plays of the day.
no one watches baseball highlights. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The things that we do for our children.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you brought up social media. How much? Because you have gotten a little more active this summer. How much do you pay attention to what other guys are doing?
I got active because my son was running for Congress. Yes. That was the only reason.
But you're retweeting other stuff, retweeting basketball stuff, retweeting
people. Not much.
I just wanted the attention. How much do you pay attention to that and what guys are doing?
Not much. No. Just a little bit. I mean, I follow our players, but I don't follow that many people.
What's your take on...
Are you interesting to follow on Twitter? Because I don't think I follow you on Twitter.
Dang.
Yeah. I only do Celtic stuff.
She only tweets out stuff you already
know. You already know. It's a little behind of what... Yeah. What is your stand on all of the social issues that are going on right now and the Warriors taking a stand and Donald Trump's comments towards athletes?
I think the Warriors stand was pretty easy to take. Yeah. But I just want to communicate with our players. I want the players to communicate with each other. I support the things that they want to do and the stands they want to take. They can say and do what they want. If we're doing something as a team, we should all communicate and talk about the consequences, the benefits, the solutions to whatever social issues they want to deal with. But I'll support them. I'm not policing what they do or what they say. At the same time, I want to be there to answer questions and talk through with especially some of the younger guys to just hear their views and maybe be a sounding board.
After going to the Eastern Conference Finals, what really sparked the big time change of like this sort of revamping everything and moving forward?
It's just opportunities. It wasn't our intention at any time that we knew that what the deals that we were going to do are, but just opportunities presented themselves. And, with the draft, started with the draft lottery and free agency and what we were able to accomplish. And big decisions that we had to make, managing the payroll and managing salary cap. dictated a lot of things that we did.
Now, is cap space, as of right now, gone moving forward? Like, free agency is not necessarily, since the rebuild, free agency has always been a play. Is free agency now off the board? That's kind of how it works?
Well, max contract free agency.
Max, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That being said, that we're reacting, you have said repeatedly that you guys aren't just going to lie down with what's going on at West. How do you feel like this new roster, where does that put you guys?
I don't know yet. I'm anxious to see. I mean, we have a lot of young players and a new team, so give this team some time before I make any evaluations on them. But, you know, we're counting on some guys like Marcus and Terry and Jalen to really step up their games. And they have amazing opportunities right now to play with some really good players. I think those three kids are terrific players in their own right. And, you know, they don't have to do too much with the ball handlers and scorers and veterans that we have, but they have to play well. They have to defend and make open shots. I'm very excited. All three of them have had fantastic summers, and so we're looking forward to that.
When you had to make these moves, how much of these moves were made for those guys to get opportunities to play more and make decisions moving forward?
So not all the decisions are made just based on our young players playing more, but I think that it shows me that we can have this team together for a while. This is not a team that we have to revamp next summer and the next summer. Like, this team can stay together, and we can manage that financially. We manage the payroll with these guys going forward, and I'm excited about that. I'll get a chance to play some golf next summer, get back down to a scratch golfer.
Has this been the most fun summer since you became
fun summer
president of basketball operations?
You know, I can't say that it's been fun. No, I mean, I'm really excited about where we are right now. But I can't say it's fun. I mean, you know, Brian and you both know this, that, you know, how much I thought of the players that we moved and, you know, how fond I was of Avery and Isaiah, Kelly. And, you know, you feel like you raise these kids up and then, you know, you move on, and that's tough. And Jay Crowder. And those are tough things to do. So, we made some changes in our medical staff and in our training staff and strength staff, and like, those are never fun. And so it's been a really, really busy summer and a very big emotional roller coaster. But as I sit here today, I'm as excited as I have been in a long time.
Biggest challenges this season with this roster, what do you see?
Well, I mean, just developing some chemistry. I think it'll take a little bit of time, but I think that sometimes that excitement and enthusiasm, you know, when we made the trade for Jarebko and Crowder and Isaiah, and, you know, we're all coming together, I think that just, they didn't really have any time to develop any chemistry on the court or learn how to execute together, but they played pretty well just because they all were excited for the opportunity. And we have a lot of guys that are really excited about their particular opportunity in this team. And I think that energy and that excitement can make up for a lot of, you know, on-court continuity and things like that.
You said you're looking forward to improving your golf game, but do you feel like you thrive in these rebuilding situations? Are those the times that you enjoy?
I enjoy, I think I enjoyed KG, Paul, and Ray, and Rondo for like 6 years. That was pretty enjoyable. I mean, I enjoy continuity. Listen, I know that there's this like idea that we're just moving an Eastern Conference team, and, you know, like, that's not my number one joy. No, I would like continuity. We have great stability in our organization with great ownership, and I love my staff and Brad and his staff. I mean, we have a lot of continuity inside the organization, but we have made a lot of changes with the players over the last few years since the KG era. And, you know, hopefully we can have some stability on the court there as well.
What made you part with that Brooklyn pick? I mean, besides getting Kyrie?
You know, I think that, you know, signing Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, I feel a responsibility to give them a chance. I think that Brooklyn pick, I think, could be very, very exciting. I think Cleveland could have a really good pick there. But it's probably going to be a big man that's 19 years old that probably needs a couple years to develop and could develop into a franchise player. But, you know, Kyrie is a proven, is a sure thing, guy that's 25 and can really, really play right now. And I think that that's fair for Brad, and that's fair for Gordon and Al. And also it'll give a chance for Jason and Jalen and all those guys to develop. We have some young guys that we're developing and that are bright parts of a future. Terry Rozier and Marcus as well. Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris. So we have a young team that we feel like that we can have them together for a while.
So that's President of Basketball Operations Danny Ainge, who, by all accounts, did not have a down day in the offseason. Sherrod, how do you feel about going all in on Kyrie finally giving up this Brooklyn pick? And do you think it is something that he owes to guys like Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, who were willing to sacrifice to come here?
No, I don't think it's something he owed them. I think it's something he owed Celtics fans. I think he owes his organization. And I think behind that loyalty to those guys, I think the crux of what Danny Ainge has always been about is doing what's best for the Boston Celtics. When you look at the players that Danny could have potentially included that pick in, for to land, you're talking about guys like Paul George, Jimmy Butler, and then you got Kyrie Irving. If you were to line them up all with you having to take one of those guys, take a stab at one of those guys, I think most GMs would go after Kyrie Irving because he's only he's only 25 years old, has already been a four-time All-Star, an Olympic gold medalist, an NBA champion, a guy that hit the most iconic shot in Cleveland Cavaliers history to help them win their first and only NBA title. When you have a chance to land a player like that, you go chips all in. And again, I love what Isaiah Thomas brought to this team. I love what Jay Crowder brought to this team. But if sacrificing those guys and a Brooklyn pick to get a guy like Kyrie Irving is the price tag you have to pay, I don't think there are a lot of GMs who would have done it differently.
I completely agree with you. And we've been waiting for fireworks. I know we overuse that term. We've been waiting for fireworks for years.
They damn near burnt the forest down this summer across the NBA when you talk about all the fireworks that went on long, and even up until
up until
training camp with Melo going to OKC. I mean, that was, you know,
it's been so fun.
Most off seasons, that deal would have been like, wow, this is a big deal. That's like, yeah, whatever, this summer, which is crazy.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And the Celtics have been in the center of it. And so here's the biggest question, Sherrod, and we're going to get you to Brad Stevens shortly, but did the Celtics make themselves better this season?
I would say they kept themselves status quo. I don't think they're better. I don't think they're worse. I think they're about where they should be based on these moves. But I think they've set themselves up to get significantly better and to take that next step and get past Cleveland when you look at the additions that they added with Kyrie Irving now for the immediate future. And then I look at a guy like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, guys who are going to get an opportunity to play more with Jay Crowder out of the mix, and then you add a Gordon Hayward to the mix, and you've got steady Al Horford up front, and you got, you know, big, strong, badass Aaron Baines, and not to mention Marcus Morey. You've got a lot of guys that can help you over the next 2, 3, 4 years, and the majority of them are under contracts, other than the big max guys. The rest of those guys are on very reasonable contracts. So the Celtics, they have what few teams can honestly say, and that is a bright present and future.
And we will look forward to that. The man at the helm going forward is Brad Stevens. He said he found out about the Kyrie Irving trade just like everyone else when it ran across the scroll watching ESPN. Here is our conversation with Brad.
Brad, what was going through your mind this offseason when all of the trades went down? And step by step, give it to us.
I don't remember the step by step
right.
part.
Drafting Jason.
Just try to stay in the moment and you move on to what's next. And I've said it on a couple of different occasions, with the draft and then free agency, you know that you're obviously going to add to your team with draft picks. And then, you know, as you go into free agency, you don't know how that's necessarily going to shake itself out, not only here, but across the league, how it not only impacts who you add to your team, by adding Gordon, but how that impacts who won't be here as well. And then, you know, so like most people, I thought we were probably done, or very, very small changes to be made as we headed into August. And then obviously the trade with the trade for Kyrie, and I talked about it a lot. I mean, I think that, you know, initially when that happens, the first thing that you feel is that emotional cost of the people that you've been around every single day, and are so thankful that we're here. And then my job is to coach our team. And so then you start focusing on, okay, we've got to figure out how to piece this thing together with, by soaring with the strengths of the guys that are here. And we've watched Kyrie a ton, so we have a good idea what he does. We've watched Gordon a ton, we have a good idea what he does. And now it's about helping everybody else accentuate each other's strengths.
Of all the people that left, what was the biggest gut shot?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always, you know this from having been in the league, those are real, those gut shots are real, right? And I think that, you know, I don't want to get into that necessarily, but I truly appreciated what everybody meant to this group. And, you know, I think that, you know, when people talk about Isaiah, when they talk about Jay, when they talk about Avery, when they talk about Kelly, like, you're talking about guys they're going to talk about fondly for a long time around here, which is a good thing.
Scott was on a boat when he found out about the trade. Where were you when you got the call from Danny?
I was actually just had finished dinner and saw it scroll on the bottom line, and I hadn't checked my phone in a couple hours, believe it or not.
When the salary cap jumped down and you knew you wanted to go after Hayward, was that like a day where you thought, like, well, man, I know we want to do this. We know that Gordon Hayward's a big-time player, but we're going to have to eliminate someone on this team that helped us get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe a guy that, you know, like, you think about Isaiah and what he did, got here. He's one of the top five players in MVP vote-getting. Jay Crowder changed his career. Avery Bradley accentuating to becoming a big-time two-guard. You knew you had to get rid of somebody. I mean, did that reality come in, or do you just say, like, all right, I'm backing off of this. That's Danny's job to handle that.
Well, I think that reality comes in once I understand kind of how the cap is when it comes in, right? So Mike and Danny kind of manage that whole thing and pay attention to everything. And obviously there are projections that you have going into that time of the year where you think the cap may come in, and because of where it did, it caused change. That was a pretty quick turnaround with regard to those few days where you find out what it is, and then free agency hits, and then, you know, ultimately you have to make all those calls. But none of those calls are easy. Obviously, we're excited to have Gordon here. We think he brings a lot of the great things that have been well discussed to the table, and we're looking forward to getting to work with him.
When you draw up before you get Kyrie, you're like, going into the season, this is how I'm going to use Isaiah. This is how I'm going to use Gordon Hayward. Boom, trade happens. Is it, well, scratch everything, here we go? Or Kyrie and Isaiah, they both score like 28, 29 points a game. I can make it work both ways.
They're both really good in pick and roll. They're both really good off the ball, transition, et cetera. They do a lot of things that really good players can do a little bit of everything, right? And those guys both can do that. I think that the most important thing with regard to establishing a system or a style or a way of playing right now is to get guys to learn how to play together. Maybe haven't played together. They don't know each other all that well. And I think that'll be a smooth transition with this group. I don't know what that means from a timeline standpoint. I mean, this is probably the 1 year where you play a game 3 weeks later, of course. But I think that that'll be good for us, because the transition to each other, the practices, the learning each other, simplifying what we're doing early on in training camp so that we can learn how to play together is going to be critical. I've said this the last couple of days. We've spent a lot of time trying to simplify everything over the last couple of weeks as a staff in our discussions and our talk, and we're looking forward to starting that process tomorrow.
That's my question. You talk about a system. How do you view yourself as a coach? You coach to the personnel, or you coach, do you have sort of a baseline of what you want to do and then adjust according to people?
You have to coach to your team's strengths. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that some strengths that people have shown in the past, you've got to bring those out in a group and a collective effort. Some guys can do things they haven't shown in the past, and I think that's important to bring out too. Just like anything else, when somebody comes here, they don't come with a narrative. They come with a blank slate. And so, anything that people say that so-and-so can do or can't do. We'll find that out.
How do you know that? Do you find those on film? Is that something, or is that something that you see on the practice court or that you've seen in the past?
You learn a lot on the practice court. You learn a lot in situations. You learn a lot in the games. I mean, we have four exhibition games. We're going to use those as a learning tool. We're going to use the first few months as a learning tool, to be candid. And I think that that's probably a really good thing for our group. With a bunch of guys that have never played in the NBA before, which I think 5 of 14 or whatever it is, we're going to learn things about them every day. But then film is the way that you prepare for it, and you can learn a lot from film.
How do you approach this year with Jaylen Brown, last year rookie? I mean, he was pretty consistent when he got minutes, but this year, obviously, with the roster changes, he has to take a big step. You just, like, put a lot of pressure on him early because this is, you got to get thrown into the fire, or you bring him along slowly?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that with guys like Jaylen, who's a second-year player, Terry Rozier is a third-year player, Marcus Smart, who's a fourth-year player, every time you're young and making that next jump to the next year, you know, there's this natural desire to do everything or really dramatically change who you are. And the key is just doing what you do well and doing it a little better than you did the year before. And so not getting too caught up in trying to prove all of this different stuff you've added to your game, but in taking what you do best, taking what you did improve on, and adding value to winning for your team. That's a great challenge for anybody.
But players could be stubborn. So is that your job as a coach? Is that where you draw the line and say, like, you know what? I like the 70% that you did. I didn't like this 30. Let's get more of that 70, less that 30.
I think guys know what they need to work on. You know, I think that, you know, a big emphasis for Marcus this summer was his body and his shot. He's worked really hard on both. You know, Jaylen Brown, big emphasis for him. The only thing that I talked to him about in summer league was guarding different positions. That's going to be a critical part of our team. You know, some of the stuff that we've asked him to get a lot better at, nobody will ever tweet. Right? Nobody will ever talk about. Yeah. Nobody is going to talk about how well he directs the ball in a pick and roll, or, you know, how pulled in he is on the weak side. But that's going to add value to winning. And that's ultimately going to give him a chance to play more.
Jaylen had to work hard to squeak out any minutes with the roster last year. Jason comes into a situation where there may be a little more opportunity for a guy like that. How do you work him in and maximize his strengths?
I don't know that Jaylen's position was much different. I think we needed a backup small forward, wing, whatever you want to call him, last year. And so Jaylen played the majority of those games. I don't know that there really was a game he didn't play until the playoffs that he was available. So, you know, I think Jason's in a pretty similar spot from the standpoint of, you know, again, if he shows the growth that Jaylen did throughout the year, where he continues to just focus on the right things and get better and better, then he'll have a chance to really impact us, because I think he can help us. And if he, you know, rides the emotional roller coaster and becomes, you know, focused on the wrong things, then it's going to be tougher, you know. And I think that that's something that we'll talk about every day with him. We've got a great staff of guys that they're honed in on their individual assignments, and so they're locked into what each guy needs to do to stay kind of on that path.
Did you guys have to take a? I will be careful with this one. Do you have to take a few steps backwards to ultimately get where you wanted to go, from this offseason to starting this season, and the expectations? Like, last year you guys were in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is that something that is, once again, is that and more because you added Kyrie, but you also got a lot younger and a lot of guys with
experience? Yeah, I mean, we're just different. So we'll figure out how good we are. Time will tell. We'll know in April if we're any good, and where we stand amongst the rest of the league. But our goal is to work towards becoming the best that we can be. And, you know, I told our guys real briefly this morning before we walked in, if we want to be known for anything, we want to be known for a team that values being growth oriented, that wants to get better on the next day. Because ultimately, you know, I don't care, again, if you're the last place team in the league or you win the title, the next day still happens, right? And so you're striving for something bigger than just each individual game as a goal or one season as a goal, but to be excellent in your pursuits every day.
How big of a challenge is that this season with only four players returning? Because we've had so many discussions about constitutional knowledge and just with having been in the program,
yeah,
and
I mean,
things that you know.
Is that you can watch us last year towards the end of the year. especially on offense. I thought our defense took a step back last year, but I thought especially on offense, we were doing things because we had played together.
Right.
You know, we were making cuts, we were spacing, we were knowing what the other guy was going to do because we had built up a little bit of that corporate knowledge. I think that ultimately that's the fun part of my job. In a lot of ways, in all sincerity, I feel like I've taken a brand new job, you know, like because we have all new guys for the most part. And so it's fun. I didn't have to move, you know, and my office didn't change. And so I look at it as a fun challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
How do you improve on Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, what they've done in the past? How do you build on that?
Well, they're 27 and 25 years old. If they're, you know, I don't think either of those guys is interested in staying stagnant. You know, I think ultimately they want to improve. You know, we've had some individual conversations already about how they can improve. You know, and I think there's room for growth in everybody. You know, as we've watched the league, we always talk about, like, the most improved player is usually somebody who goes from a bench role to a starting role or maybe becomes a great sixth man or whatever. But in reality, some of the most improved players of the last few years have been the MVPs. You know, when you look at Steph Curry and his level of improvement, you look at Westbrook's season last year. I mean, those guys took, like, huge jumps. And just because they were already really good, we don't talk about them as the most improved. You want to be the best of the best, you know, there's people chasing you, and you've got to constantly improve, too.
I know I've asked you this a lot, but with Gordon, whenever we talked about him in the past, we put up the picture of him as a skinny tennis player back in Indiana. What has surprised you about his growth now in this league?
Well, he was a skinny tennis player who could put his elbows on the rim jumping off either foot, so he wasn't exactly like this guy that all of a sudden became, you know, a special player, but he's a great athlete, I think, first and foremost. He's very versatile. He can play 1 through 4, and I think his ability to do that on both ends and switch some, especially on the bigger guys on the defensive end, gives you a lot of options. You know, we've always said that the more positions you can guard and the more positions that you can play and the more you can accentuate all those around you because you can be put anywhere, the better you are. And I think the thing that people don't talk about enough with Gordon is his ball handling and passing. He's great off the pick and roll in passing the ball. He's great off curls and cuts in making the right read. You know, I think that he knows how to play. And I think, you know, he's excited about this challenge as well.
And then with Kyrie running the point, you've done remarkable work with guys who are considered have to have primary ball handlers and getting them to work within the system and what you want them to do. How do you view Kyrie moving into that kind of system and that role?
Well, he's going to play on the ball. He's going to play off the ball. He's going to play all over. I think the benefit of you know, we have ways to put him in the different spots, and we'll tailor it to fit his game. And I think that's ultimately what we're going to try to do. But he's excited about the opportunity to be put off the ball and to play off the ball. He's excited to have the ball. He's excited to make plays for his teammates. He's excited to do all those different things. And we better space the floor okay around him. That's going to be a big part of it. Do we make shots around him? But ultimately, you know, he's gonna have to do a lot of different things a lot of different ways.
What's the biggest challenge this season? The one that you're going to give to the camera. I'll get the other one from you later. But, like, just the overall, the thing you had to emphasize. Last year, it was rebounding. You said it from the beginning.
Yeah, we didn't do it worth a darn. So you are what you emphasize or you're not.
We can make some arguments on certain lineups that actually rebound the ball really well. What is your, going into the season, the biggest emphasis?
Yeah, I think the biggest emphasis is figuring out what allows this team to have success, right? And I think ultimately, we're always going to talk about rebounding because that clearly is a spot that we still have to address as a team. You know, it's not going to be a one-person thing with our team. We're going to have to address that as a team. But there are ways, as we talked last year, to manage that, right? I mean, you don't have to be the best rebounding team in the league to be one of the best teams in the league. You know, our first shot defense in the half court last year was good, but our transition defense wasn't. Our rebounding wasn't. Like, we turned it over a little bit more than the year before. We got to be a little bit better than that, right? We can't foul quite as much. I mean, there's so many things that we have to get better from, but it's interesting. Like, when you put that all up in a slide or you're talking to our team about these are the areas in which you can improve, 11 of the guys are looking at you like, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
So you talk about why the details matter, but this is a new team. We need to treat it as such.
That's what I was going to say. How do you look at this? I mean, I feel like for the first time you guys really have, no disrespect to anyone else, but a talent advantage on some nights. And you said you came to this league to coach the best players in the world. And now a few of those are on your team. How much fun is that for you?
Well, we lost a few that were on our team, right? Yeah. I mean, ultimately, these are the best players in the world and they're on every team. And then you separate yourself with your work, your focus, and how you accentuate each other, and we'll find out.
Playing in the Garden, what is that like with the fans and that atmosphere?
It's the most special atmosphere in the NBA. And, you know, having lived it and been around it and just kind of the jolt you get from walking on that court is pretty special. Passion of the Boston fans at every level, at every sport, is great. There's no question about it. And I think you can feel that. And I think that I think that players on our team and not on our team can feel that.
And we play 80s rock.
And we play 80s rock. And we
own it.
Hair bands.
Game.
Free game.
That's right. Did we talk about that last year?
Patriots, Bruins, that's Red true. Sox, Celtics, 80s so rock.
Never going
we're,
away.
We were bowling the other day, and we have this little room to ourselves, and Tracy and I took our kids and one of the neighbor kids, and it's all 80s the whole time. Tracy and I are jamming. We're having the greatest time of our lives, and our kids think we are outdated, right?
What is
but
this?
It's like, hey, we live in Boston. Let's go.
You should know these
we
songs.
We like that. Yeah, the 80s rock. That's right.
Yeah, from being in the arena.
That's exactly right. So
Brad Stevens there. That about does it for us. Wrapping up training camp the Celtics 2017.
Yes.
Sherrod, it was glorious.
It was real.
It was real. I prefer that word. You're absolutely right.
It was
right.
Real.
Did not miss Kyle Draper, though. Kyle, hope you're having a great time in Ireland.
Who's Kyle Draper?
Exactly.
That name rings a bell. I'm not quite sure that is.
Yep. Reminder, friends, subscribe, tell all your friends, rate and review us. This is the Celtics Talk Podcast. Sherrod, thank you so much.
No problem. And we're out!